I know enough about all three of you to know that you are actually quite concerned about civil rights, and you have, you know, all acted in your lives accordingly in the past. So I'm glad that we share that. I also know when a person gets elected to an office, they tend to be insulated, not that they want to be, but it's just the nature of the dynamic from the rest of the public. So I want to run a quick scenario on you, a scenario. Imagine that you, being concerned as you are about the well-being of the world and perhaps, let's say in this case, a war that you feel is not right, and you think you should organize a demonstration and have a meeting in your home to do so, and nothing, you know, radical or rowdy is intended, just a peaceable activity in public. And let's say after a while, a few meetings, you find out that you had a couple FBI agents in your living room not identifying themselves, actually going out of their way to not identify themselves. You might feel less than overjoyed about that situation. And I'm hoping that you can put yourself in the position of people who obviously had a similar situation, although it wasn't FBI agents, and understand that, you know, perhaps while no crime was committed by them doing that, it certainly is a chilling type of activity. And I hope also you'll recognize that, as the police, I believe, have admitted in public, that there was no indication before or after these undercover operatives attended these meetings that any kind of violence was either planned or likely to occur. So that makes it, I think, even more of a mistake that the surveillance continued. And I understand that there was some concern because previously there had been some violence on New Year's Eve or window smashing. It's ironic because the group that put this parade together was trying to replace the parade or the activity that was created to try to prevent this violence. Unfortunately, they didn't have a lot of money to spend, which was also their predecessor's problem, and therefore they had to do it without some permits, fees, overtime for the police, et cetera. So what I'm saying is I think they were well-intentioned, and I think that you yourself, if you were in the position of the organizers for some similar purpose, would not feel like you like to have unannounced police surveillance. And so I'm hoping that you will make clear in the future to our police department where the boundaries are. And as a guideline, I think you're aware of the fact that San Francisco and Washington, D.C. have a fairly well thought out policy on this issue. And you can use that as a reference to get a complete and thorough policy that will protect citizens from this kind of intrusion on their privacy rights and free speech rights. Thank you.
Fred, you're not required to, but you may wish to share your name with folks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fred Geiger, Santa Cruz resident. Thank you.
Other speakers, please come up.
Members of the Public Safety Committee, and it's nice to see you, Chief Scarry and Bob. I am Wes Modes, Santa Cruz resident for almost 20 years now, and I'm one of the people who more than likely whose civil rights was violated, one of the parade planning people. I don't get much chance to talk to Howard Scarry, so I just wanted to ask you while you're here, can you tell us if there's any other police operations where police monitored groups engaged in First Amendment activities, say, in the last 3 years?
Wes, the way we're going to handle this is you can ask the question, we'll direct them back to him. So that's fine. But
so like
any
radio
questions you'd like answered, please make them clear, and we'll redirect
I'll
them.
I'll take my answer off the air, as they say, right? So rather than starting from the point of view of Chief Scarry's policy, which I think Mark Schlossberg articulately argued was inadequate, we've prepared for you a modification of the San Francisco policy that is it's the one set labeled Section 610, Santa Cruz Police Department Guidelines for First Amendment Activities. I think you all have that. So I'd like to ask that you use that as a starting point for your work rather than try to make Chief Scarry's policy compliant. I think it'd be a challenge. So I think that any policy created by the council must have as a bare minimum explicit protections for First Amendment activities, definitions of what those activities might be, a limits on police power regarding those First Amendment activities, steps the police have to take before considering monitoring a group, rules of conduct, and probably most importantly, an auditing requirement. I think we've seen what happens when the police themselves in particularly even in this incident. So thank you very much. I appreciate your real thoughtful consideration of this and your willingness to work with the ACLU on this. Thank you.
Thanks. Also, I should have told people, I mean, maybe everybody assumes this, but we're taping this meeting, and the reason for that is not to create a new record, but so that we can actually respond to all the comments that people make and make sure that the city manager and others get a chance to hear all the comments. Good evening.
Good evening, council members. My name is Celia Scott, longtime resident, former mayor of the city. First, I would really like to compliment Mr. Aronson on his report. I thought it was, well, when I read it, I thought this is a breath of fresh air. It really said things that needed to be said, and it said them very, very well. And I'm glad that the city has a police auditor that does a good job. I'm also glad to hear that you are going to have, or rather the city manager is going to have a meeting with Mr. Schlossberg and the other individuals that you mentioned. And I think having reviewed Mark's letter, Mark Schlossberg's letter, and also looked at my letter of February 13th, which raised many of the same issues, I think there is a possibility, if this is done properly and conscientiously and thoroughly, and that the San Francisco model is taken seriously, that we can create something in our community which will not only be a model, as Mr. Schlossberg suggested, but it will also help to reestablish the trust that I believe has been broken between the police department and many members of the community, including people who were not at all involved in the do-it-yourself parade, but who were shocked when they discovered what had happened with regard to undercover operations. So I won't go into great detail here because I think Mr. Schlossberg's letter, my own letter, make it pretty clear what needs to be done and that the current policy, while it is certainly an improvement over no policy, is really insufficient and inadequate. And we need something that really protects the civil liberties of all the people in the community. But I would like to ask how you envision this process going forward. If that group is to meet, I would hope that you would bring a draft policy back to this committee so that it could be reviewed and we could have public input into it before it is sent on to the whole council. I understand that you do not have the ability to, the council does not have the ability to direct the police chief, but you do have the ability to say, hear from the community and have the ability to say to the city manager, this is our consensus as to the policy that we believe ought to be adopted. So I would suggest that instead of something being fast-forwarded to the city council on April 11th, that instead this gathering of you know, the individuals, city manager and Mr. Aronson and Mr. Barisoni and Mr. Scarry, take place, something be fleshed out, brought back to this committee so we can all review it and then be sent on to the city council. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Others? Please come up. Don't be shy.
I'll give you something for entertainment. I think what you've done already and your considerations, if you support the current police policy, it would be utter hypocrisy because I know that you guys are members of the ACLU and you politically correctly opposed the Bush administration and all that, but your own policies and actions in Santa Cruz are just as fascist as theirs. It seems that just like most other totalitarian governments, You use the excuse of public safety to allow the police to spy on anyone who, according to their new policy, if any member of the group has committed a crime, they're allowed to spy on them. And by that, that would make what they did perfectly legal. It would also allow them actually greater powers than what they've already done. It would, and to claim that they would not abuse this power is utterly ridiculous because obviously it's an explicit statement that they are legally entitled to do exactly that. So just because it's in Santa Cruz doesn't mean it's any less wrong than if it was happening on a national level. So I urge you to support the modified San Francisco one that the people here have created.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Israel, and I've lived here 10 years. So I just wanted to bring up one particular point in this complex, and that is when people are in private meetings or semi-public meetings that are doing First Amendment work, it's very easy for the observer, the government observer that's not disclosing their role, to become an agent provocateur. And this happens so often. It's such a slippery slope that I think we have to take this possibility very seriously. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Mike Allen. I'm a citizen of Santa Cruz, taxpayer, and I'm here to speak in favor of the police department. When I read about the hullabaloo in the newspaper, I went to the website that Mr. Modus had put up. I didn't know that at the time, that it was Mr. Modus. And I'd just like to share some of the comments that were made in the website. I think you've heard these before and have seen them yourselves, but I think it's important to have them on the record. This was a, and this is a quote, a celebration without permits and permission. The purpose was blowing minds and making revolution. A direct quote, we make the city, not a bunch of yahoos. I guess that's you. We will reclaim our streets. I'm not quite sure what that meant. And it asked for volunteers to provide legal service, suggesting that they expected legal problems. They said safety is a concern because of the fire dancers, which wasn't quite sure what that meant, but it seemed to mean that there was going to be a lot of fire downtown in the streets. This is against a backdrop, which you're well familiar of. There were 7 stabbings at Halloween. The Sentinel has described downtown as a place where public urination, drug use, car burglaries, and assaults are increasing. These council members themselves, if I read the newspaper correctly, had expressed concerns to the police, suggesting that they look into this. So as one citizen and taxpayer, I think the police did the right thing, and I think you'd be wrong to put handcuffs on them. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Other comments?
Good evening. My name is Casas Caracristos. I was born and raised in Santa Cruz. And I'd just like to comment. I agree with our last speaker. I think some might say that it was a violation of First Amendment rights. I thought it was great police work, a great investigating. The police in this town have a very difficult job. They live in a very diverse, unique society. And they literally do their job with kid gloves. I mean, they're trying to work in an environment where they want to respect everyone's rights. I think we have one of the most sensitive, professional police units in all of California, and it's an attribute to Mr. Scary here. The things that we need to realize is that we're really spending a lot of time on this when we should be looking at ways of increasing resources for police. I mean, we're having some difficulties downtown. We need to be able to provide them with resources. We just loaned for a skate park $350,000 to do the skate park, which is great. I agree with that. But we're deferring the hiring of 3 extra police officers so we could buy vehicles for them. So what we need to do is give them the resources to do their jobs. It was great police work. I mean, I'll give you another analogy. Are we going to start identifying ourselves? Are police going to be required to identify themselves when they're going to make a drug buy? Are they violating the drug seller's rights by not identifying themselves? I mean, we need to be reasonable here and work within reason with regards to what's being done, breaking the law. And they literally did break the law by not getting permits and so forth, and I'm surprised they weren't cited. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Other comments?
Hello.
Good evening.
Hi. My name's Lisa Mastromico. I'm a Santa Cruz resident of almost 10 years now. I just wanted to encourage people to not make assumptions about other people in their community. While not a fire dancer myself, it's actually not it doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be a lot of fire downtown. And in fact, the reason why people often have to have a pre-request for legal help is because of exactly what we saw happen here. And being involved in legal protests myself, and knowing what happens and how people's civil rights get violated all the time, right in front of your eyes, it's really important to have legal observers and legal help. So that doesn't automatically mean that somebody's planning on doing something illegal. In fact, it means that they're just trying to protect their right to do what the Constitution says that we have the right to do. And quite frankly, I think that we need to spend a lot of time on this. And I appreciate the time that the council spent on it. And I appreciate the time they're spending tonight. And I'd like to agree with Celia Scott. And I hope that you put forward a draft resolution in this committee before you send it to the city council so that people can talk about it more. Because considering what's going on at a federal level, I think it's really critical to be extremely diligent in dealing with this matter. So I, in fact, do think that it's something that is worthy of time, though at the same time, I do understand the resource considerations. And, you know, there's other things going on that we need more resources for as well. But I want to thank you for the time you've spent, and I hope that we can spend more and open it up to the public more as well. Thanks.
Thanks.
Good evening. Is the timer starting? My name is Icarus Solem, and I've been a resident in Santa Cruz for 12 years. I'm a native of San Francisco. It's true the police have legitimate rights to investigate these groups, but there's no reason they couldn't have come in uniform. And I think that would have, one, increased the level of trust between the community and the police. Sending undercover officers into a political gathering of this nature is, you know, if it was a Democratic or Republican Party gathering and the chief of police decided, based on the fact that politicians have been known to take bribes, for example, that they should be investigating a local fairly powerful organization versus an organization with very little political power, that would certainly be viewed as a completely inappropriate activity. Now, we know that a Republican, Dick Cunningham, was recently wiretapped, but I imagine that a judge was involved in that activity. And that's why one of the things I urge the council to do is to introduce a policy of judicial oversight of any investigation, which means I think the judiciary in this county can be trusted to be maintain confidentiality, but I think that a separate set of records should be maintained with the judiciary. And this is a basic, I don't mean to try and give you a civics lesson, but the basic of our democracy is a system of checks and balances in which all three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary, share power, and there is no unitary, unilateral action on the part of any one branch of the government. And also, I would like to say that the access by civilians to police records once an investigation is concluded is also extremely important. I feel that, for example, if I wish to see if the Santa Cruz Police Department have been spying on me personally, I should be able to do that. I hope you would agree. And again, these guidelines are pretty good. They don't have anything about judicial oversight in them. And again, you know, the legitimate activity of the police is to maintain public safety, not to eavesdrop on particular political groups, and, you know, regardless of their. And I think that's why the record keeping is very important, and the accountability is also very important. And I don't really have a whole lot else to say, but I do think that the access by civilians. Are the two main points I wish to leave you with are the access by civilians to police records if an investigation is no longer in progress, and secondly, the need for judicial oversight of these types of investigations. Thank you for your time and your effort.
Thanks.
Hello. Let's see. My name is Douglas Cronin, and I've lived here about 12 years. And I actually haven't had a chance to see the report yet, though I am planning to check it out. Some of my concerns about this particular event, I was not an organizer for the event, but I was aware of the people involved in it, and I thought it was going to be a great community event to replace something that cost a lot of money for something that cost basically none. And I think one of the important things for me in this is it's been poo-pooed a little bit, I think, by you guys, but the whole, like, homeland security that, you know, the police aren't really utilizing that directly. But I think that we do have to consider what exactly homeland security money is being used for and if files are being shared, things like that. So that's one concern. Another thing that maybe could have alleviated this, that the council could have done, specifically related to this event, was that it's the whole shutting off of downtown Pacific Avenue wouldn't have made this event legal. So that would have been something to consider ahead of time. Another concern that I have, and that I've spoken with a few people about this, is some of the potential for police harassing actually people that come forward and have some sort of dissent. So I would encourage you for some of these rules. I've actually directly talked to people who are involved in trying to get police oversight, who have told me, it's very difficult, of course, for people to come forward and say this, but that they've had the police drive by their house, things like this, and threatening types of overtures made to them. So I think that there needs to be some sort of, this to be accounted for. And one final thing is that I think that the cost is directly related to this event, actually, rather than general undercover activities, but just the ridiculous cost of permits. I think that notification of an event of this nature would have been enough. So anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Thanks. Anyone else? Please. Good evening.
My name is Don Zimmerman, appearing here as a member of the board of the Santa Cruz chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. And with your permission, I'd ask that a statement be included for the record.
Sure. Thank you.
Simply like to say that in agreement with the independent auditor's report, with which we are in generally great agreement, we think that the exercise here shouldn't have anything to do with assigning blame for the incident that took place on New Year's Eve, but rather, as Mr. Aronson said, there's an opportunity here as a city and as a community to move to a more sophisticated model of handling such situations. We think he's right about that. The Attorney General has spoken to that and saying, for example, the best assurance for public acceptance of intelligence operations are clear guidelines that focus intelligence efforts on illegal activities and not to encourage surveillance of people or groups engaged in acts of protest or civil disobedience. We at the Santa Cruz chapter have been in consultation with our parent body, the Northern California office of the ACLU, and their expert there, Mark Schlossberg, who is the police practices policy director, who's written a detailed letter to this committee, to the council, and others in the community, detailing the ACLU recommendations, which I think are well taken, for what should be taken up in a thorough, comprehensive review of the existing policy that was adopted, as I understand it, in February. And so just to mention those without going, no point in going into that detail here, we're urging that the Santa Cruz Police Department policy should address referencing our state's constitutional rights to privacy, which there are many California court cases saying are broader than the federal protections of civil rights, narrowing the policy's circumstances warranting undercover operations in the face of constitutional civil rights issues, making it clear that less intrusive tactics and open communication with a target group must be considered before undercover operations are instituted, incorporating new guidance on video surveillance, and strengthening provisions for reporting and auditing. We recognize that the City Council and this committee has limited authority to issue detailed directions on police operations to the police department. Nonetheless, we think it is within this committee's and the council's proper authority to state its concern about the entire surveillance issue and the analysis and recommendations, findings, and conclusions of the independent auditor.
You should wrap your comments up. Okay. Just on the time. Your comments are also in writing to us?
Yes, I just handed that there, and that was about it. Thank you.
Thanks. Just in trying to be fair in terms of everybody having equal time to speak. Thanks. Others?
Mayor Rotkin, Chief of Police, and all of the police. My name is Mike Tomasi, the king of the trolls of A Battery, 6th Battalion, 14th Artillery, a walking, talking miracle from Vietnam, the greatest forward observer in the history of the United States, and a real live hero. I hold my hand up for freedom. Within this freedom, the Constitution of the United States and all 27 of its amendments. And, mister, if you don't stand up for your rights, you'll definitely fall to never get up again. I close my fist for compassion, understanding, and evaluating what is happening around you. And I come to all of you with no bombs, no guns, no K-bars. I come to you with the truth and all the love I can throw at you. Well, Mr. Rotkin, Mr. Scary, I've been watching the Santa Cruz Police Department for about maybe 47 years. But for the past 6 years, I've really been watching them with 100% of everything that I stand for. I've been looking at them. And you know something? They're not only unconstitutional, they're using selective enforcement. They're using divide and conquer. And they're using all the discrimination that they can possibly can at the homeless and poor people of Santa Cruz, California. And you know, all of these people of Santa Cruz, California that I've had the opportunity to know and try to understand in my lifetime, they are out of order also. You can make an anonymous call on somebody and turn him into a murderer, turn him into a poor old dude that ain't got no place to live. And you know something? That is totally a sin. Santa Cruz has the best police department in the state of California, because you know I've been to more than one city in my lifetime, but Santa Cruz has the best cops in the world. And they do break the constitutional rights of people. They do use selective enforcement. They do use divide and conquer. And they do use discrimination. So you ought to have them have a little police procedure, a little bit of rules that their police officers can do. Because I'm telling you, man, it's not necessary to step on the people's heads. It's very necessary to use compassion, because the police department, not only the Santa Cruz Police Department, but every police department in the state of California and the United States does the same thing. And they all have the same stinking little unions that think that those cops just cannot do anything wrong. Well, I'll tell you what, they can. They're dope dealers, some of them. They're murderers.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you. Love you. Love you, Mr. Seal, Mr. Scary.
Other comments? Good evening.
Council members, it's the audience that is to be commended for showing up here tonight, and I want to thank them and encourage them to believe and to understand that it's their work, and frankly, not yours, that's going to contain, control, and result in real change in the police department, if anything is. I note this meeting is being recorded for the first time in 4 years, so the public actually has some access to it. That's good. But I also notice how this meeting is arranged. Two agenda items were shrunk into one. This would, of course, contract public comment period, so there will not be public comment on both items. I'm just noting this because this is the case. Agendas are normally fixed, and they require, they're there for a purpose under the Brown Act, so people will have an ability to comment on each item. But unilaterally, you've contracted two items, okay? You've set all the public comment in advance of any staff discussion, so we can't comment on the kinds of comments that we'd like to hear, the questions that Rico asked, that Wes asked the police chief, which is, what else is going on? That's the real question here, not the surveillance of one incident, one event, but what exactly has been happening for the last 3 years in Santa Cruz. Now, I publicly called Howard a liar on January 24th, based upon comments he made in the Sentinel, that this was the only such surveillance that had happened. And I think he needs to respond to this concern that some of us have, that there has been surveillance in other circumstances. Maybe Bob Aronson can stand up and support him because Bob has access to these records. I think it's naive to believe that the council members before us here are really concerned with transparency, oversight, when they have a regular policy of supporting selective enforcement in our police department downtown. That is their policy on one law after another. So I think it's up to the community to respond to this and to take action. I want to remind you that this public safety committee were before did nothing when this was initially exposed. They did nothing when Chief Vogel announced he was investigating himself. They did nothing when the city manager for life, Dick Wilson, approved this on the day that the report was issued. But then, of course, when Bob Aronson said, oh, well, I can't quite okay this because you're investigating yourself, there was a public safety committee meeting that had no public comment significantly. It was cut back to 2 minutes. Ed Porter supposedly asked for people to have input to him. But then, of course, the meeting was closed, so no input was allowed. I want to remind people here that there will be a public comment on items not on the agenda after this meeting, so people will have an opportunity to comment on what this public safety committee has done, if it's done anything, at the end of this meeting. And I encourage you, in fact, I think you're required to keep that public comment period open. Again, one last time, what's the answer, Chief? Have we been surveilled in the last 3 years? And if so, which organizations have been surveilled? Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Please come up. Hi.
Hi, good evening. Kristen Phillips Mattson. I'm here to also urge the Public Safety Committee to please pass stringent guidelines that would provide clear-cut, policy that's not vague or impotent, that protects the rights of the people and will make clear to law enforcement where their boundaries lie. I would like to use a quote from a former mayor. I think this is really appropriate. It's the power of the state to intimidate those with unpopular or controversial views expands in direct proportion to the indifference or even hostility of elected officials to the sanctity of personal freedom. I'm not pointing fingers. I just think this is something to really consider right now. I think it's important to bring up in this conversation. Right now we saw the largest, probably the largest march in history in Los Angeles. Right now, in our country, they want to make immigrants into the new gold star, the Jews that were in Germany. I'm very concerned about this, and I think that we should all put in as strict as we can be with in regards to police spying in our community. I would like us to be an example to the rest of the country to say, no, we are going to honor people's privacy. We're going to honor the rights of individuals. We will not share information with larger bodies that are trying to persecute individuals or groups of people. Specifically, I would like this policy to include explicit protections for First Amendment activities, definitions of First Amendment activities, limits on police powers regarding First Amendment activities, steps the police have to take before considering monitoring a group, rules of conduct for the police, an auditing requirement, and a more specific one here locally. And then I personally would also like to see and make sure that the city has oversight of any surveillance that's made of peaceful political groups. If surveillance is made, and I've seen it happen, if there are pictures being taken, I'd like to know what's happening to those pictures. Are they being kept in a vault, or are they being passed along somewhere? I think, as citizens, we have a right to know that. Secondly, I'd also like the city to have more local jurisdiction besides the police auditor over what's going on with the police. And then lastly, I'd like to suggest that if the police ever consider dealing with a JTTF, Joint Terrorism Task Force, that it be presented to the community so the community has input. Lastly, I would like to say I do appreciate the work the police do. I understand it is hard work. I'm not saying that the police are corrupt or anything like that, but it only takes one bad apple, and it is the responsibility of the city council and of this committee to oversee them. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Anyone else? Good evening.
Hi. I'm actually going to decline to give my name, and I'll explain why in a moment. I think that much of what I would want to say has already been said and said well, so I'm not going to repeat that. I would actually have made notes and had something ready to say, except that I hadn't understood that I could decline to give my name. Having understood that, I now will speak. I have had, unlike some of the other people here, have generally had good experiences with the Santa Cruz Police Department. In fact, I was asked, after I took the police training courses, was asked to apply to be an officer and declined to do that at the time. I had other things in my life going on. However, this really shakes my faith in what I expected to be a police department different than others in the country. I hold Santa Cruz to a higher standard. And so I wanted to talk about this other issue that people who previously perhaps had a naive faith in the Santa Cruz Police Department are now a bit more concerned about, or quite a bit more concerned. I'm obviously, if I'm unwilling to provide my name. And I think that this should say something about what these actions do, something that may be somewhat insidious and not as obvious at first. So that's my point. Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? Going once? Going twice? No one? Okay, we'll close the public input.